It's great to be with you. It's good to have you here with us, those of you who are actually able to be with us physically, and those of you who are worshiping with us this morning by our live streaming. We appreciate each of you being with us to worship. And again, as I said earlier, that we pray that our time of worship together will be a blessing to each and every one, and will glorify God. Amen? Okay, we're talking about knowing God. We began this series a few weeks ago. Before we begin our lesson this morning, I want to tell you about this movie that Brian is going to be showing on August the 16th. That's the third Sunday. Have our family movie night, 5 o'clock right here in the auditorium. I Still Believe. And so you're invited to that. And as we've been saying in this time of pandemic, we will not be serving popcorn as we normally have in the past, but you are welcome to bring your own for that. So keep that in mind, and hopefully you'll be able to be here and see this this particular movie. Now, we as we began this series of lessons, we've been asking several questions, and it's really all about getting to know God. All right, so how well do you know God? There's a lot of people that know, as we've been saying, a lot of stuff about God, but unfortunately, there's also a lot of people who know a lot of stuff about God that isn't so. In other words, they're folks that have different ideas and beliefs about things about God, but those things that they believe just simply aren't true. They're not what the Bible really tells us about God at all. So what we're trying to do in this series of lessons is to help us to really focus on getting to know God in a personal relationship. It's not about getting information about God and knowing about Him, but it is about knowing God in a personal relationship. But it's not even just that. We talk about and focus on a personal relationship all the time. What I'm trying to do with this series of lessons is to help us to learn some key areas where we really need to interact with God, okay? And these in these very valuable ways, these very valuable areas of our lives, to interact with God. And in doing that, that can help us to take our personal relationship with God to a different level, to grow and increase that relationship even stronger. We're not here to talk about and just pass out information. This is experiential, and I'm trying to encourage you as we go through these different studies to look at how can I experience this relationship with God, perhaps in some ways that I never have before. So these seven areas that we're focusing on in this study that will help us to raise that level of our personal relationship. We talked about grace. We've talked about justice and experiencing God's justice. Discipline. We talked about love. Today we're going to talk about sovereignty. We're going to talk about prayer. And finally, we'll end this series talking about victory. This also is about pointing others to Jesus so that they can have a relationship with Him. Okay? It's not enough, and as we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, not enough for us just to have it, okay? We need to be sharing it with other people, all right? So we need to be finding those who need to hear about Jesus and tell them about Him, those folks in our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria, so that they can have these interactions with Jesus also, grow in a personal relationship with Him. So, in talking about knowing God today, we're going to be talking about trusting, and that's the key word here, trusting His sovereignty. Okay? So, when we talk about God is sovereign and God's sovereignty, what does that mean? Basically, that God is in control of how much?
Everything.
All right, God is in control of everything in the universe. Okay? You've heard this phrase and perhaps even used this particular phrase, maybe in encouraging someone who maybe is struggling with something going on in their lives. And what do we say? Let go and let God have it, right? And that's to let him have his way. Let him take control of whatever is going on and trust that he can handle this, okay? One of the things that we talked about at the very beginning of this pandemic, we had a lesson, you recall, that said what? God is greater than coronavirus, okay? We worry about all these kind of things, and so indeed, we do need oftentimes to let go and let God, and trust him to guide us, to lead us, and to help us through whatever is going on, okay? So let go and let God. It really is a matter of learning to trust God with all of our heart, okay? Half-heartedly trusting God is not going to make it, okay? God wants all of our being, okay? And that includes our trust, all of our trust, okay? Look at what the writer of Hebrews says as a warning against falling away. All right, in chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, he says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did." Do not harden your heart. Have a heart that trusts in God. You see, that was part of the problem that the Israelites had, wasn't it? They didn't trust in God. And that's why they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, because God told them to go into the land of Canaan and take the land, and they looked and they said, oh, can't take it. They trusted in themselves instead of God, and they paid the penalty for it. And so the writer of Hebrews warns us, don't harden your heart against God. In verse 12, he says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." You see, it is about our heart and really truly being able to trust God with all of our heart, that he knows what he's doing and that he can handle whatever it is that we've got there. That, as a song that we sang earlier, he really, truly is able to handle anything that comes my way today. Okay? The wise man in Proverbs 3, in our text that was read for us as we began, I want you to look at a couple of key things here. All right? Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? With all of your heart. Okay? And the second part of this that's really significant is lean not on your own understandings. And that's where we so often get into trouble when it comes to God's sovereignty. Because what we want to do is we want to kind of put ourselves in there and say, yeah, I know that God can do this or God can do that, but we've got our ideas of how things ought to work out. And that gets in the way of our trusting in God. You say, with all of our heart. We kind of oftentimes tend to half-heartedly trust in God. You say, he says, lean not on your own understanding. Basically, another way to say that is get yourself out of God's way. Okay? Just get yourself out of his way. Because he can handle it. Do you trust him enough? You say, to allow him to handle whatever it is that's going on, okay? We have a lot of people that don't. A lot of Christians who say things like this, I know what the Bible says, but, okay? And then there's their qualifiers. Like, you don't know how much they hurt me. I know the Bible says I'm supposed to forgive, but. Say, or God wants me to be happy. I've heard many people that say it the other way. God would not want me to be unhappy, you say. And so it's all about happiness. And so I know what the Bible says, but I'm not happy, so therefore God understands. I know what the Bible says, but I was born this way. so therefore I can't help it. Or how about, you don't understand my situation. Okay? Or how about this one? Well, we're going to get married anyway, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. God will have the last word. Okay? He will have the last word because He is sovereign in the universe. All right? Another way to look at it is this. God's laws are non-negotiable. Okay? When God tells us in His word what He wants us to do and how He wants us to live, those are not suggestions. Okay? Those are God's commands, and He gives those commands to us because He knows, and we need to understand this, it's not about God wanting to make our lives miserable. God gives us the commands that He has because He knows that those are the ways that if we live by them, we will live the best life possible. Think what the world would be like today if everyone would obey God's word. Just think what it would be like. You see? So God doesn't give us laws and rules to make our lives unhappy and miserable and difficult. He gives those to us to make our lives a blessing. We will just follow Him. Trusting God's sovereignty then is really about letting go of a lot of different things. Okay? It's things like our fears. We need to let go of those. And the worry and the concerns that we have about so many different things. We need to let go of control. And this is a really tough one here. Because so many of us, what we want to do, we want to control everything. And I'm one of those so many of us, okay? I admit that. You know, it's part of my personality. I got to kind of be in control of stuff. But we've got to learn, and trusting in God's sovereignty is learning to let go of the control. See? It's also about letting go of all those wants, you know, that I want this, I want that, and we sometimes treat God like He's Santa Claus, and we just give Him a wish list, and He's supposed to fill it all out for us. So there's that wish list. Sometimes let go of that. Just get that out of there. We need to let go of a lot of those desires that we have. Mostly, I think we just need to let go of ourselves. Get ourselves out of the way, as I said earlier. And let God take control. Trust Him enough that He loves you enough and He knows what He is doing. See? To lead your life in the direction He wants it to go. So we got to let go of some things if we're really going to trust Him and realize that He truly is sovereign in our lives, okay? The psalmist in Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and how much? Everything in it. The world and all who live in it." Everything belongs to God. You see? Everything belongs to Him. I was talking to somebody just the other day about my trailer that I have out there. And, you know, I'm trying to sell that. And it's like, okay, God, you know, why aren't you sending me somebody to buy this trailer? And you know, and boy, I've got all kinds of ideas and what I think, you know. And really, as I told him, what it comes down to is that trailer doesn't belong to me anyway. It belongs to God. Okay? And so what I have to do is wait until God lets me know the person He has decided that He's picked out to have that trailer. You see, it's just simple things like that that we've got to learn to trust in God. That trailer doesn't belong to me. You have, how many of you have a car? No, you don't. No, you don't. You rode over here today in God's car, okay? It belongs to God. What does that text say? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It doesn't say everything except my car. Okay? How about your house? There it is again. Your house. It's not yours. It's God's. He's just letting you use these things. You see? And yet so often, here's the real key, so often, how often do those kinds of things get in our way of trusting God? Because we look at them as, it's mine. We need to realize it's not yours. It belongs to God, and He's just letting you use it for His purpose. Okay? Because the earth and everything in it is His. All right? To the Lord your God belong the heavens and even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. You look on that little, you know, globe there of the world, and you can find God's house that He's letting you live in. You say, it belongs to Him. The psalmist in 115 says, "But our God is in the heavens, and He does whatever pleases Him." See, these are things that should remind us that this world belongs to God, that He is sovereign over the universe. Okay? He can do anything He wants to. And that's important because, again, I hear a lot of people say, you know, when they're doing something that, you know they shouldn't be doing, and maybe you're talking with them about it, and they say, "Well, my God would never do such and such." You ever heard anybody say something like that? It's like they have decided that God can't or won't do certain things that they don't want God to do. And what they're failing to understand is that God does not need their permission to do whatever He wants to do. You see? He does whatever He pleases. He is the God of the universe. And He's not answerable to you or I or anyone else. He does whatever He pleases. Isaiah 44, he says, "I am the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God," he declares. "Who then is like me? Let them proclaim it. Is there any being in this whole universe that is like God?" The answer to that is absolutely no. Absolutely no. You can make anything into a god you want to. And we've talked about that before, about idol worship. You can make anything into a god, and there's a lot of people who worship a lot of other things besides God, but they are all false gods because there is no other god. As soon as we're able to trust God's sovereignty, we're a testimony of restoration. I like that statement. See? We've got to learn to trust His sovereignty and allow Him to do the restoration, the restoring work that needs to take place. And when He does that in our lives, then we become a testimony to God's work in our lives. But we got to trust His sovereignty and allow Him to do what He wants to do with us. We've talked about this particular part before. In fact, some of these slides you might recognize, the whole idea of quarreling with the potter. Okay, remember this phrase that a lot of people say, "I have a bone to pick with you," right? Okay. And we talked about, where does that phrase come from? "I have a bone to pick with you." Well, it's basically when someone wants to talk to somebody else about something that the other person has done that's annoying them or bothering them in some way. As in, "I have a bone to pick with you. You've been using my shaver again." Okay? We got something, you know, "I don't like what you're doing, and so we need to talk about this. I have a bone to pick with you." And there are a lot of people who have a bone to pick with God. Okay? Whatever has been going on in their life, whatever bad has happened in their life, they're blaming God. And they got a bone to pick with Him. They don't like the way the world is. Right? And, you know, right now, the world's in a mess, isn't it? I mean, would you agree with that? It's in a mess. It's all over the place. This pandemic is worldwide, isn't it? It's a mess. Okay? We got all kinds of other stuff going on, not just here in America, but again, all over the world. It's a mess. Yet God is in control. People ask this question, why do bad things happen to good people? If there really was a God, why doesn't He stop all this evil that's going on in the world? And so God, explain yourself. And that's how a lot of people view the situation. God, you've got some explaining to do as to why you're allowing these things to go on. And there are a lot of people who have, if they ever did, they've stopped believing in God. And a lot of people use it as a reason not to believe in God, that He's allowing all this stuff to go on. So therefore, God must not really exist, or He doesn't really care, or something along those lines. Again, they have a bone to pick with God because they don't like what's going on in their world or in the world. There's a statement right there we all need to grasp hold of. We need to know our place. And that's one of the things that it really comes down to when we're talking about the sovereignty of God. Do you know your place? Okay? We are a potsherd among potsherds on the ground, Isaiah says. Okay? What is a potsherd? It is a broken piece of pottery. And Isaiah uses this illustration really basically to show who we are as we stand before God. He says, you're a broken piece of pottery is all you are. Okay? And not only that, but you're a broken piece of pottery among all the rest of the broken pieces of pottery that are out there. Is there any one of us who can say, I'm not broken? Anybody? Every one of us is broken in one way or another. You know what happens to broken pieces of pottery? They basically get cast out onto the dump heap. They're not really useful for much of anything. And so Isaiah wants us to understand, you know, when it comes to us and God, we're worthless on our own. We're just broken pieces of pottery that aren't good for anything except to be thrown away. And yet, the broken pieces of pottery would demand an explanation from God as to what He's doing and why. Isaiah says, it doesn't work that way. Okay, now you know I'm paraphrasing here, right? Okay. He says, how can a broken piece of pottery quarrel with the potter? All right? That's what happens when someone forgets his place. And he becomes arrogant. And starts demanding answers. In this case, from the potter. And we need to understand God and His sovereignty. When we become arrogant that way, He will put us in our place. Consider the story of Job for just a few moments with me, okay? Job, of course, you know, was a righteous man, an upright man who loved God and escheweth evil, the Bible says about him. And yet God used him, yes, that's right, God used him to demonstrate His sovereignty over the universe to Satan. Because Satan thought he was someone. Job kind of like, God, why are you doing this to me? In Job 38, verse 1, it tells us here, then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. And Job certainly was in the midst of a storm in his life at that time. But God answered Job out of the storm, and look at what he said. Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. He goes on to say, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? God is questioning Job. You know any of this stuff? Tell me. If you're going to call me to answer to you, let me ask you a few questions. In 40 verses 1 through 8, it says, the Lord said to Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. And then Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. Then the Lord spoke to Job, and there it is again, out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? And yet again, isn't that what so many people are doing? You see? That people have their own idea of what's right or what's wrong or what's just and what's unjust instead of following God's, and they expect God, you see, to adjust to them. And the reality is, it doesn't work that way. You see? It doesn't work that way. God isn't going to adjust for anybody. Okay? He's the God of the universe. And nobody can stand before him and call him to account, all right, because they want to justify themselves. Job responds, verse 2, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. In other words, God can have his way, can't he? See? God can have his way. Finally, we come to this particular question that is on the heart and mind of a lot of people. We need to understand this in relation to God's sovereignty and learning to trust God in his sovereignty in our lives. What is my purpose? Okay? What on earth am I here for? People ask. Or seriously, what am I here for? What does God want from me? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to accomplish? Why am I here? For most people that I've talked with over the years, They talk about this idea of finding fulfillment in life. I'm trying to find that, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? What direction is my life supposed to have? But as you talk about it, what I have found is that for most people, that translates into this: happiness. What they're doing is trying to find what makes them happy in life. And they've tried this, they've tried that, they've tried everything, and they can't find happiness, so they're struggling with the whole idea, what's my purpose? And for most people, again, it's all about their happiness. I looked up some things here and I found, this is really interesting to me. Someone came up with 30 ways to be insanely happy. Okay, they got all kinds of suggestions for you. Well, if you don't have time to go through 30 of them, this person only has 25. Okay, ways that you can enjoy more happiness in life. Okay, well, again, that may be too many, so this one's got only 20 simple ways. All right, to find happiness in everyday life. Well, again, 20, that takes a while to go through that list, so let's narrow it down and let's just have 10. Okay, let's make it real simple, just 10 things that I can do to make my life happier. And if that's too many, well, let's just make it really, really simple. 7 tips for finding the happiness in life. Okay, why? Because that's what people want. They're all, everybody seems to be, we're just out to find out what makes us happy in life. May I suggest to you that the more important question is this? Not about what your purpose is, but what is God's purpose for my life? And we really need to understand that when it comes to trusting God's sovereignty. What is God's purpose for my life? Because that's really what it's all about. You see, we can have our own purpose, and then we're going to go in our own direction, but we need to understand that may not be the way God wants us to be going. And so our focus really needs to be in answering this question, what is God's purpose for my life? In other words, going back to what Isaiah was saying, does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Yeah. He doesn't, okay? The clay has no say-so in what the potter makes it out to be. The potter has a purpose. The potter has something that he wants or needs to be made, and he makes the clay into what he wants. And the clay doesn't get a say in the matter, okay? Because that clay is there to be used for the purpose of the potter. Right? That, Isaiah is trying to get us to understand, is really all about God's sovereignty. That we have got to realize that we are the clay and he's the potter. And we have got to allow him to mold us and make us for whatever he needs us and wants us to be. All right? Paul to the Philippian church says this, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Look at this. He says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Right? According to his good purpose. God is working, and he is acting in you according to his good purpose, not yours. Do you trust his sovereignty enough to allow him to do that with you? Okay? What is God's purpose in this life for you? We have really, truly got to learn to trust God's sovereignty. That he knows what he's doing. That, as we say sometimes, God's got this. Okay? And he truly is able to handle anything that comes your way in this day. And he can give you whatever it is you need to sustain you through whatever it is that you're going through. Okay? Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Okay? Knowing God and learning to trust him, especially in his sovereignty, makes all the difference in the world in our relationship with him. So the challenge for us today is to really learn to trust Him, that He is in control, and that He knows and is doing, working, acting on your behalf in what is best for you. Do you trust Him? We have a song that Wesley has chosen that we're going to use as an invitation song, and that is an opportunity for anyone to let us know what we might be able to do to help you in your relationship with God, for those who are not Christians, for you to become a Christian and to have that relationship, to be restored to a relationship with Him. That's what we want to do. For those who are here physically with us this morning, if there's something that we can do to help you, you have a prayer request, all you got to do is come up and let me know, and we will answer that prayer request this morning personally. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, the invitation is extended to you also. Dale is not here with us. He's out of town this weekend. Wes and I are both here. So you can text either one of us. If you have a prayer request that you would like for us to address, we will do that. Just text us while we're doing this song. And if there's somebody out there worshiping with us online who's not yet a Christian, and you have come to the point where you recognize that you are lost, separated from God, and you want to be saved, all you got to do is let us know that. We will do whatever it takes as soon as possible. You don't have to wait for any special time. We'll do it as soon as possible to arrange for you to become a child of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then all you have to do is repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that as soon as we can arrange it to happen, and we'll do so as soon as possible. Just let us know, and we will do that. Wesley, come on up. Let's stand together and sing.